of your voice. You have led me through the fire in the darkest night. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as my friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. In all my life, you have been faithful.
Amazing grace that still saving without. Saved me. He's been good to me.
Yes.
Church, you pay for my dad, my brother, and Candace's mom and dad, brother too. They've been on my heart this week. Pray for me, help me with them.
Amen.
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 Pray for me.
I've been kind of choked up. I don't even know if I can get through this song. I was just thinking so many things has been said this morning that I needed to hear.
Amen. What a blessing.
And he was talking about under the uttermost. My daddy used to always say, under the guttermost. And sometimes you can look around and you can just see the depravity of man.
Yes.
And our failures, our faults, our shortcomings.
My God, Michelle.
And how bad we are. But he sent him anyway.
Praise the Lord.
Hey.
And he was willing to come anyway.
What about that?
Yep. Thank God.
And he looked through time and he saw all the unkindness, all the hurt that would be caused for man, all the evil in the world, but he still loved us anyway.
That's right.
And he did it anyway.
Hey. No,
I can't comprehend that. I can't grasp it. I'm just thankful for what God's done for me, for his love and his compassion and his mercy, his goodness. He's been so good to me.
Lord, you have been real good. Thanks, Lord. What a blessing. Fill her up,
trusting the Lord.
Yeah.
say really quick before we sing this that it's been really, really good to be here this morning. And I was sitting back there thinking, you know, there's a lot of people that lived their whole lives and never experienced anything like this. And God has blessed me. And I was talking to our kids last night and telling them, you know, what we get to do is such a privilege and an honor. It's a blessing. We get to go to churches all over the place and experience this. And it's so wonderful. And I'm so thankful. And I don't ever want to take it for granted. I love. Sometimes I don't get to be involved in the services. Sometimes I'm just back there wrangling kids. But just to hear people worship the Lord and hear what He's done for them, it blesses my heart. And it's just been really good to be here this morning.
There's a place I love to sing about, a story I love to tell. How Jesus took away my sins and saved my soul from hell. He opened up my blinded eyes and set my spirit free. He paid a debt I could not pay as He hung upon that tree at Calvary. Calvary, it's where my story first began, and my boast will always be in Calvary. Calvary. Oh, I hate to think about just where I might be had it not been for Calvary. Between two thieves as they laughed and mocked His name. He bore the weight of all my sins and carried all my shame. His brow was pierced, His hands, His feet, and He did it all for me. So with every breath that I have left, I will stand and proudly sing of Calvary. Calvary, it's where my story first began, and my boast will always be in Calvary. Calvary. Oh, I hate to think about just where I might be had it not been for Calvary. It's where broken hearts are mended.
Yes, listen.
Shattered lives are restored. It's where the lost and dying soul can come and be reborn. It's where every weight I carry can be laid down at His feet. It's where I bring my troubled mind and Jesus speaks peace at Calvary. Calvary. It's where my story first began, and my boast will always be in Calvary. Calvary. Oh, I hate to think about just where I might be had it not been for Calvary.
pleasure to be here this morning. Sit there and let the Lord feed my soul. Thank God for His grace on us, being so kind to us.
Way to say it, but thank you, Lord, for it's true, I am Barabbas. I was convicted of my wrong. Oh, and I stood there so guilty, and I thought all hope was gone. But a man named Jesus, he stood up in my place. There's no other way to say it, but I thank you, Lord, for grace. It was the innocent for the guilty, the right for the wrong. It was the King from glory giving up his throne. Although I didn't deserve it, you did it anyway. There's no other way to say it, but thank you, Lord, for grace. There's no other way to say it, but I thank you, Lord, for grace.
I'm not going to preach long. I may not even say much, but I do want to say this has really been an honor to be here this morning. I mean, for God to move like he has this morning is just a real blessing. It really is. And I tell you, you really got something special here. And you say, well, what's so special about this place? It's the presence of God. It's that God meets with his people here. That's what's special about it. I'm not special. I'll not keep you no longer than the Lord wants me to keep you. But I think we do need to read this at least and talk a little bit about it. You'll find it in the book of Ephesians, if you've got your Bibles, Ephesians chapter number 2. I sure am thankful for all God's done for us this morning. He sure has done more. You know, God can do more in 2 minutes than what we can in a lifetime. That's a big statement, but it's so true. It's so true. And I praise the Lord for that. Ephesians chapter number 2, if you found your place and able to stand, we'll stand in reverence of reading the Word of God. The Scripture says in Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 1, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation. We all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God," that changes everything. That first 3 verses sounds pretty rough. Sounds pretty rough. It shows us our position before Jesus Christ. Then number 4. Verse number 4, "But God, who is rich," who is rich in mercy. You know what that means? It means he's got plenty of it. You know how much mercy he's got? As much as you need. And it's renewed every single morning. Every single morning. And you, listen, you can't need, everybody listen, you can't need more mercy than he has. No way. No way. This is a house full of people. Don't know how many's here. Don't know what all you're going through. No doubt there's a ton of problems. I sit here and I watch you, Pastor, write down all these prayer requests. I looked over at his paper. He didn't know I was looking. And I looked at that and I said, that'd scare me if I didn't know God.
Right. Yes, sir.
That'd make me nervous. If I had all these problems and I didn't know God, that'd worry me to death. But do you think that list makes him fear any?
You think that list makes him sweat in heaven? That list, listen to me, that don't make him a bit nervous. That don't make him a bit nervous. I thank God we've got a God like we've got. But God, who is rich in mercy, he's got enough mercy to go around this whole building and pour so much out on you, you'll not know what hit you. You'll say, where in the world did this come from? And then he's still got more. And then in the morning when you wake up, you're still dealing with them problems. He still got mercy. Why? Because he's rich in mercy. It's all his. It's all his. Thank God. By the way, we've been talking a lot about grace. I'll say this before we finish reading. We've been talking, singing a lot about grace this morning. That's what was on my mind when I woke up. That's what was on my mind for this meeting when the pastor called me to come. I thought about the grace of Jesus Christ, the grace of God. And some writers said that the grace of God is just God's riches by Christ's expense or through Christ's expense. Yes, I'd say that's right, ain't it? Yes. I mean, God had all these riches, didn't have to share it with nobody.
Right.
He had it all there. But then he made us. Yeah. What'd we do? Turn around and stabbed him in the back.
Yeah. Right.
And instead of saying, fooey on mankind, he took his son whom he loved.
Yeah. Yeah.
By grace through faith, we're fixing to read it.
Right.
And he sent him to die for our sins.
Yes, sir.
Now, that's just grace, ain't it?
Right.
So God was saying this, I've got all this, but I don't want to hoard it up. I want to share it. But I can't share it with them people who's turned against me, so I got to send them an ultimate sacrifice.
Right.
I mean, one who will make my anger cease upon mankind and make me turn my anger from them and turn love toward them.
Yep.
So I've got to give them my perfect son.
Yep.
And when I do that, then I'll have me a people who I can share my riches with.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Now here we are this morning at Amazing Grace Baptist Church, sharing the riches of God, all because the grace of God.
That's right.
That is God's good gifts gave to us through the cost and expense of his son. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, listen, we ain't got to do nothing. It's all in him. It's all in Jesus Christ. You're going to try and you'll work yourself to death because you'll never, never get to the place, thank God, where you feel like you've done enough. Amen. Thank God. This is a big riches. This is about God, who is rich in mercy for his great love. Not just love. Not just love. It was great love. These little words change things. You know what? I mean, for God's great love. It was a great love that caused him to kill his son in mine and your place. See, that should have been where we died, but he killed his son there. Wherewith he loved us. At verse number 5. Even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's what's happened. This in the ages to come, he might show the, listen to this verse number 7, if you can wrap your mind around this,
right,
that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace, his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus.
Right.
So grace has already started here. The grace is going to carry into eternity.
Amen.
For ages to come that he might show forth grace.
Right.
I think maybe me and Brother Sex is texting back and forth to me and another preacher. I don't remember who it was, but he said this. He said one feller said that if all heaven was a little old keyhole that we could look through for just a little bit. So if you could look through that, it would be enough to praise him for years and years and come back and look again. That'd be enough to praise him for years because he'll show us that exceeding grace of God all throughout eternity. It's already started now, but it's going to continue on. Verse number said that in ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God.
Yep.
Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship. Thank God for that. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Remember that ye being in time past Gentiles, in the flesh who are called uncircumcision by that which the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope, and without God in this world. Verse number 13 sounds a lot like verse number 4. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off are made nigh how? By the blood of Christ. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. Lord, we thank you for your wonderful, glorious word. Father, I pray that you'd help me for a few moments, Lord, to do what you'd have me to do. I realize, God, we stand helpless and hopeless without you, but thank God with you we stand so empowered, God, to preach the word. And I pray, God, that you would help us, Lord, do an eternal work in us here this morning, that we can leave here not saying, I seen the preacher, I seen the pastor, but saying, I seen the Savior. Yes. Lord, I know if we can see you this morning like we have, Lord, that we can continue to see you, Lord, that it'll change lives and help us for the good and for your glory. We thank you for all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Quick thought the Lord gave me in verse number 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespass and sin. Now this is to every one of us here this morning. That's the sinner's position before Christ, is dead in trespass and sin. And court, you know, there's a lot of churches and a lot of preachers that try to call forth the dead. And you know, you could go to a graveyard and we'd call you a maniac if you tried it. But you could go to a graveyard and you can sit there day in and day out telling them dead people that they ought to do different, that they ought to live different, that they ought to be different. Yeah. But see, they're dead. And according to the scripture, the dead knoweth nothing. And so there's the sinner's position without Christ. Yeah. Paul said, ye who were, thank God for that word, were dead in trespass and sin. And so that was our position. We were dead. We were dead, not only just dead, but where were we dead? We were dead in our trespasses and sin. And so in other words, mankind from Adam was dead to God because of their trespasses and sin. It's not because of the alcohol that sends the drunk to hell. It's not because of the dope that the doper goes to hell. But it's simply this, your sin nature that's on the inside of you. You're born shaped in sin, conceived in iniquity. Everybody's turned away from God and hates God from the time, thank God, you're old enough to know. You choose sin. You choose that's wrong. And we can sit in our suit and ties and say, preacher, I don't have that problem. But the Bible says we were all in time past. I mean, everybody's got a past, and none of us pretty. But thank God it's a past. And so there I was, dead in trespass and sin. Where is that place, preacher? That's a helpless and a hopeless place. Listen, I'm telling you where the sinner's dead at. I need you to get this. There may be a sinner here this morning, I mean, that don't know God, and this is for you. Here's where you're at. You're in a place of outer darkness. I mean, not just darkness. You're in a place of outer darkness. And friend, where you're at, dead in trespass and sin. You say, preacher, how do you know so much about this? Because I lived the life before I came here. And so I want to tell you about that place. It's a place of outer darkness. I mean, it's a place without hope. It's a place without help. Yeah. That's where the sinner's at. I mean, listen to me. There's no light switches where the sinner is. Light does not exist where the sinner is.
Right.
But since then, I mean, he's in our outer darkness.
Yes.
Absolutely no hope.
Good.
I mean, without God, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel.
Yeah.
He don't know God. He can't know God.
Right.
I mean, you can get him all the books in the world. But how in the world are you going to understand it?
Yes.
No light to see.
Right.
I mean, you can try to tell him all the intellectual things that you know to tell him, but you just remember, he's dead and trespassing and sin. Preacher, they say, I'm saying you can't hit him.
Right?
I'm saying he's a hopeless sinner.
Yep.
I'm saying he's a helpless sinner.
Yep.
Thank God, though, listen, I'm telling you, there's no light switch that you can, sinner, you listen, you can struggle around all you want to, bless your heart. I've done it, but you're just going to stub your toe. You're going to keep running into walls.
Yeah.
And you're going to keep hurting yourself. Yeah. And you can try to find him. And you can try to feel all you want to.
Yeah.
For a light switch. Because you longing for life. You didn't see nothing but darkness. But you heard about this life.
Praise
but you don't know what it is because you've never seen it. Because you're in outer darkness.
Yeah.
And where you're at, the light don't exist.
Yeah.
And you can try to find the light switches. But the problem is, where you're at, they don't exist because there is no light where the ungenerated sinner is.
But I read, thank God, in the book of Genesis, where God Almighty stepped into the outer darkness and he said, let there be light. Somebody said, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying the only help and hope for the poor wretched sinner is that God step in your outer darkness. And thank God shines the glorious light of the gospel to you and shows you a way out. Thank God. That's the only way a sinner will ever come out into the darkness and go to the marvelous light is that he brings the light to you.
That's right. Yep.
That's it.
Good.
Yep. That's it.
That's the truth.
You can't talk them in.
No.
You can't fill them with full of knowledge to get them in. I mean, where they're out there dead and trespassing sin, you can't do it. We're not the giver of light, thank God. Last time I checked, he said he is alive. But he goes away, thank God. Listen to me, he's the giver of light. He's the giver of life, thank God. He gave his life. Listen, God gave his son. The son gave his life. And the sinner goes free. And what I'm simply saying here, it's not in your ability to come out of that darkness. It is the grace of God. It's the good grace of God. It's by grace through faith. That not of yourself. It is a gift of God. Lest any man should boast. It's the grace of God that brings the sinner out of darkness into the marvelous light.
Yes.
Nothing more, nothing less.
Right.
It is the grace of God. And had he not, somebody said, well, you need to get to God. Listen, that's like telling that dead person to get out of the grave. You ain't got that power.
Right.
How in the world can somebody in total darkness that's dead find God?
Right.
He don't.
Right.
The grace of God goes to where he's at.
Right.
And says, just like you done Lazarus.
Yes, sir.
Lazarus, come forth.
Yep.
And he that was dead was dead no more.
Amen.
And he come forth. And he still had the grave clothes on. And he said, he told the grave clothes to loosen him, thank God. That is, fall off of him. Let him go. He's no longer dead. He's passed from death to life. He's come out of the darkness to the glorious light. Thank God I've done nothing to deserve it. I'm not doing nothing to keep it. Hey, I'm just living in the good grace of God.
Yes, sir.
Hey,
see it? Thank God.
And then he brought me out of the darkness into the marvelous light. And then throughout my life, he's been teaching me how I can rest in the finished work of Jesus.
Yep.
We can rest in that.
Sure we can.
We don't have to fret, although we do fret. The Lord's put me through things in my life for me to teach me more and more to trust him. That the same powerful God that came to where I was and took me out of the darkness and brought me into his marvelous light, he is a big enough God to take care of these things that I call problems.
That's right.
God has no problems.
Right.
It's not a problem to him.
Yeah.
I'm not being charismatic. I'm not trying to, I'm just telling you the truth. He has no problems. I mean, to us, they're mountains. To us, they're problems. But to him, it's absolutely nothing.
Right.
And Lord, have mercy. If y'all could see me when I was going through my sickness out at 2 o'clock in the morning, pacing back and forth behind my house and running through the woods and hollering like a madman. I mean, just filled with fear. That's what I was. I was overcome with fear and filled with fear because I thought, I don't want to die and leave my kids. I've got 5 wonderful kids, and I want to stay here and be a dad to them and raise them. I want to preach the gospel. I don't feel like I'm done yet. And I was filled with fear. And God, time and time again, would remind me you've never been in control of it. Hey, you're not in control of it now. You've got to learn to trust me. And I'm telling you from experience, that surrender short is sweet, thank God.
Hallelujah.
I mean, just give up and give it to him and let God be God, thank God.
Amen.
Yeah. We've got some friends named the Smith Sisters. They write songs as well, And I just love them dearly. They made us a quilt with all of our names on it. We sleep under it every night. And they're real good friends of ours. And they wrote a song. And that song, thank God, Brother Sexton, helped me through my rough time. But it's called I've Never Been Nowhere. God Was Not There.
Hey.
Now, I did one time when I was in that outer darkness.
Yeah.
I was alienated from him.
Me
But thank God he came to where I was by grace through faith. Showed me the glorious light of the gospel. I said, what in the world is this? He said, let me tell you what it is. And he told me about it. And thank God it rung true in me. I was able to believe because he imputed to me the faith to be able to believe. And I believe it, and I come out of that darkness and been in the light ever since. And there's nothing like the glorious light of Jesus Christ. And that song they sang, I was on the phone with my mama real late one night. My wife was walking with me. I mean, Brother Sexton, I'd lost 50 pounds from worrying so much. And I was walking and just filled with fear. And my mama said, son, can you pray? But I was at a point, although I've been brought out of that darkness, I've been placed in the light, I've been saved and born again, thank God, trust. But even though all of that, I'd gotten to a point in my life where I really couldn't pray. I mean, my mind was so bombarded with thoughts and so eat up with fear that really I could not pray. Every time I go to pray, those feelings come to me. Where are you going to die? You're going to leave your children. And it was just very demonic. It was a warfare against the spirit and the flesh. And I said, no, Mom, I can't pray. And she said, well, can you sing? And I said, no, I can't sing. And she said, try. And so there, pacing back and forth at nighttime, I started singing that song. And that song goes a little something like this. I've been in the desert where it's dusty and dry. And I've been on the mountain where everything's fine. I've been in the valley all burdened with care. But I've never been nowhere that God was not. Amen. I started singing that song, and before I got to that last part, I've never been nowhere. God was not there. The Spirit of God touched me. I went running through them woods, dear brother, and I didn't smack not one tree. I think I ran, and I dragged my wife with me for 30 minutes just shouting and rejoicing in the fact that since I've been brought out of that darkness and set into the light, that I've never been nowhere, that God was not there. And as long as he's there, I'll be all right.
Hey. Yeah. Yes.
I told somebody something the other day, and I mean no disrespect, and the Spirit knows that, and I hope you know that. But I said, you know, if I was to go to hell, it'll be because that's where Jesus Christ went.
Yeah. Right about
that. See, I'm double secure.
Yeah.
Because I'm in the Son. And the Son's in God.
Yeah.
I'm double secured. I ain't got nothing to do with that. I'm on this end of that stick. Somebody says, hold on to him. How in the world are you going to hold on to him? I mean, it's the grace of God. He holds on to you. There's times I wake up, I can't hold on. I mean, there's times I wake up, I'm so weak. Thank God. Weak as water. I can't get none. That's when the girl gets up.
Yes.
You just relax. And I'll hold you. Amen. Thank God. There's been a lot of places I've been, but I've never been nowhere that God was not there. And I told that fella, I said, if I go to hell, it'll be because that's where Jesus Christ is at. Here's the thing. If Jesus Christ is there, it's no longer hell. Ain't that right? He was talking about somebody preached his funeral. He said, Lord, I'm glad I'm not like that. And I said, well, I'm glad I've been redeemed. I said, but I'm going to tell you something. If I go to hell, because that's where Jesus went, I can't go nowhere that he ain't there.
Right, sure.
Listen, he's got a hold of me.
Yeah.
It's all him. He's doing this thing.
Yes.
I'm just resting in him.
Right.
And I'm just letting him live. And his brother talking and I were talking the other day. Thank God that's a glorious place to be. Just rest in Christ and let the liver live. And positionally, we're already there. We're already, thank God, been made in the image. And we're being conformed to that image. And so now we're just playing catch up to what we already been made up there with him.
Right.
And when God Almighty looks at us, listen, me and Brother Sexton can have a conversation after church and we can talk about all our mistakes we made and things we remember and maybe something even yesterday that we done that wasn't quite right. But then if somebody was to be able to ask God about our mistakes, he'd have to say they look really good to me. Thank God. I mean, the person looks perfect to me because to look at us, he must look through the Son, and the Son works as a filter to purify me and you before holy God.
I'm telling you, it's all in Him.
That's right.
Did y'all get that?
Yeah.
He has to look through the Son. The Son works as a purifier or a filter to make us perfect and pure in the eyes of God.
Yeah.
It's all the Son. It's all by grace through faith. He can help you. He can do it. And He's the only one that can do it. I've never been nowhere God was not there. You may be in a place right now where you don't know the grace of God. Or you don't know God. I'm telling you, He wants to know you so bad that He killed His Son in order to know you. He gave His Son in order to know you. That's how bad. You say, how bad does He want? He wants you so bad. See, there's nothing you do about it. That's why, listen, this is the point. That's why when He gives you the opportunity to come to know Him, the Spirit of God must draw you. You can't come to Him unless He draw you. That is, He shows you the way. And listen, when He's giving you that opportunity, that's why it's so important, because He's the one that gives the invitation. Man don't give the invitation. You can't give your own self the invitation. You can't wake up and say one day, well, preacher, I want to get saved. This thing ain't on your timeline. It's on His. And if He has chosen this morning to prick your heart and to deal with your heart, it's because He's got grace and grace and grace, thank God. And He's wanting to know you intimately. He's wanting to know you personally. And it's His invitation. I don't know, this church may do it, but where I used to pastor, when the preacher got through, we may play a song and give them an opportunity to respond to what God said. But listen, that's not man giving the invitation. Man can do that, but it won't do you any good. But when God starts giving you the invitation,
that's right,
then you have a time, and only then do you have an opportunity to come out of that darkness that you're in, and He'll put you in the marvelous light, and you too will never be the same. You who were dead in trespass and sin, hath He quickened. That is, He made you alive. You didn't do it. He did it. Thank God for that. If you bow your heads, Lord Jesus, we thank You, Father, for today. We thank You for helping us like You have. Lord, I thank You for these that's come to the altar. I pray, God, that You would help them, Lord. You know the need, Father. I don't, but You do, Lord, and we're trusting You to deal with them. Father, I pray, God, that You'd search our hearts amongst this building. You sure have been good to us this morning. Lord, You sure have manifested Your Spirit. Lord, help us, God, now to search ourselves, Lord, to let You deal with us according to how You choose to deal with us, Lord, and help us to respond in the right way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.